pursuing relationships on purpose.
One of the things that our Father wants is us become one. I want to do what pleases my Father.
We don't have to be instantly mature in everything to be love.
You got the love of God, you got the holiness of God. You got to marry the two because that's who and what God is.
This is the Encounter Culture Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Encounter Culture Podcast, where we pursue relationship on purpose. I'm your host, Josh Coate, and today we're going to dive into a subject that is near and dear to my heart. It's really one of the biggest driving factors of establishing this community movement called Encounter Culture. We're here to encounter one another. We're here to encounter the Father, and we're here to encounter the world with the gospel. And we really need to bind together as one body, unified in the faith, to reach our communities for the kingdom of heaven. I've got a couple of really special guests on my program today. Kevin and Travis will be joining me, and we're going to be talking about bridging the gap between congregations. How do we build a multi-congregational community? How do we become the church in our communities? I really believe that when we do that, we will mature even unto the head, as Ephesians 4 says, and we will also complement one another, bringing attention to the love that Jesus said we'd be known for. This kind of love cannot be denied. This kind of love is attractive, and it makes the world jealous, because whenever you've been in the world, you know there's always something missing. There's always something that's not quite right. And when you meet the one who makes all things right, you can be okay all the time. And when we learn to do that together, between congregations, between denominations, when we come together and two or more are gathered in His name and He's in the midst and the presence of God is uniting us in one faith, wow, what an amazing community we can build together. So I'm looking forward to dreaming just a little bit about this with Kevin and Travis. They're from Life Church in Nevada, so we're kind of branching out a little bit in our region and reaching out to people that we're building relationship with, not just across the street, but across county lines. And they are reaching across county lines as well into other communities and building relationship with other groups of churches, having community-wide events for youth. They're really doing it. And I'm excited to talk to him today. So when we come back, I'll be sitting down with Kevin and Travis from Life Church in Nevada, Missouri, on the Encounter Culture Podcast. Stick around. Encounter Culture is more than just a podcast. It's a community movement of pursuing relationship on purpose. We steward this movement with Encounter, points of contact where believers can come together and build relationships through community conferences, Incense Rising, 24 hours of expression and encounter, house fires, regional gatherings in homes, extended living room worship, and family-style ministry. We also steward it through culture, like this podcast, with weekly vision casting, stewarding the heart of our region, inspiring and giving resources. Echo, the publishing arm of Encounter Culture, producing a regional sound, songwriting sessions, recording and distribution projects. And through Treasure Hunts, monthly regional outreach, activation in ministry, prophecy, and evangelism. One of the best ways to connect and become involved is to sign up for our monthly newsletter. Check out our upcoming events and find out how we can pursue relationship together on purpose at encounterculture.us.
This is the Encounter Culture Podcast.
Welcome back to the Encounter Culture Podcast, where we pursue relationships on purpose. So honored to have in the studio with me today Kevin Bell and Travis Cole from Nevada Life Church. You guys have been up there doing that work for a long time.
Yes, absolutely.
So for folks that don't know you, starting with you, Kevin, just give a little quick history of who you are and what brought you to where you are now.
All right. We grew up in the Nevada area. My wife and I have been there our whole lives within that region. We came to the church we're at now about 30 years ago, roughly. Kind of grew up through that system and various pastors and so forth. And then roughly about 3 years ago, we began co-pastoring with Travis Cole and another guy there named Alan Landry. And so we've been walking together now for many years, actually, but in a co-pastoring relationship for close to 3 years, two and a half, 3 years. Been awesome.
Travis, what about you, man?
Well, nothing's much different there. I grew up in the same area. Actually, when I was a kid, I used to steal his corn. But pretty much my whole adult life, I've been going to the same church that he has. When I first graduated high school, moved away, met my wife, came back. We were youth pastors at a neighboring church, and we just started reaching out way back then. And we youth pastored our church. They needed a youth pastor, so their kids were part of it, and then a third church. And so we were kind of having a relationship with multiple churches then, and then we just moved over to their church and been there ever since.
I love that. So yeah. How does that relationship continue to work, or does it?
It works well, if you ask me. I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, I don't think that there's ever even been a hiccup, really, between the three of us. So
right. Yeah. So multi-congregational, do you still participate in that with multiple campuses, or
we've built a relationship here in the last two or three years with the Hill Church, and they've got some multiple campuses that we affiliate with pretty closely.
We've talked about Bo and Megan Norman on this program before. Josh Bussey was brought into the church here in Southwest Missouri by Bo. Of course, he's an evangelist at heart. So
absolutely.
He's come up quite a bit.
People have
said he's been influential in their lives.
He's been an amazing connection, and just the whole Hill group. We love them.
Yeah.
Love them to pieces.
So. Yeah. And they're over there in Stockton.
El Dorado now.
Okay.
They've just launched a campus there. So
they're
getting closer and closer
everywhere.
To Nevada.
We
figured we better jump in before we get ran over.
That's great. So tell me about how you steward that. How do you build relationship between congregations?
Well, our initial connection with them was we knew some of the people in El Dorado that attended the Hill in Stockton. And so we had reached out to them, and they invited us to a deeper conference, and we just went down to Bolivar to this deeper conference. It's been I think a couple years ago or so, and just was so touched. They had multiple speakers there from other areas that they bring in, and of course their campuses was all together, and we just felt so embraced and loved and cared for. And that's really what speaks to me, is when I'm around an environment where people are reaching out to me. That speaks to me, you know. It's like going to a strange church, and if you've never been there before and nobody reaches out to you, it's like, do you want to go back? Most of the time, it's like, no. You want to feel loved, you know, and that's the environment that we felt. And so, you know, we just launched something from that standpoint, and we have Bo come and speak quite a bit. You know, we mentioned TJ earlier. We was just in our discussion, you know. He's kind of a connection through Bo and just some various people, and we attend a lot of their things as well, and when they launched their El Dorado campus, they were meeting on Sunday nights, and we don't meet on Sunday nights, so we were going over there every Sunday night, just trying to kind of build community with them.
That's awesome.
You know, so we'd love them to pieces. So.
Yeah. You know, for me, growing up, I didn't go to church. I didn't care about church, didn't like church, like probably a lot of people can say that. But when I did get saved, it was because people actually reached out, and like Kevin's saying, and they made me feel valuable. And that's something I did not have growing up. And I started to pursue Christ in that. And as I was doing that, he was revealing himself to me. And then so I was actually an adult. I was 18 years old when I got saved, if you call that an adult. You know, now that I'm 40, I'm like, is that really?
Travis is still growing.
I'm still growing.
We all are.
But one of my things that I've never liked was the fact, we were kind of talking a little bit earlier, is how churches have their own thing, and that's just it. You know, and then churches were competing with each other or fighting with each other. But I've never liked that. I serve the King, and the King is over all of us. It's kind of a really big thing not to have any of those denominational walls or anything like that, because I think it was just one body. And so I really enjoy doing things with other churches, if we can do that anytime we can. You know, my wife and I, throughout the years, if we take kids somewhere, like we were class sponsors once, we took kids to the middle of Montana because that's where they wanted to go for the senior trip. We found a church and went to church. And then I made sure the kids were going to that church with the expectation to give and find some way to do that. And it was kind of neat. I'll brag on the kids because this is not me. Their pastor at that church was in need of tires for his vehicle. Our kids, on their own, decided they're going to pitch their money together and buy him tires while we're there. And
that's so cool.
I've never really shared that with you before.
No, you haven't. I've never heard that.
But to me, we are one body and we should be serving each other. It doesn't matter where we go or whatever. And so, you know, every time we find somewhere to get plugged in, and I just think that's hugely important.
Yeah, that's awesome. You're speaking my language.
You know what I mean?
This is good stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that bigger campuses tend to kind of be self-isolated and they do their own thing.
Sure.
And they may plan other campuses and things like that. We have, you know, a handful of those different organizations in our area. And we're building relationship with them because whenever you get outside the four walls in a smaller church, community makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
Getting outside the four walls of a larger church tends to be a little challenging.
Right.
So being in a smaller church and then connecting with kind of a network, what are you doing locally to bridge the gap between other churches that may feel competitive in the past?
We've been an island in the past. We knew we needed relationships outside of ourselves. But we've really focused this last couple years on this relationship with the Healed. They're so much like us and so embracing of us that at this point anyway, tried to just focus on this relationship and having a solid relationship, something to launch from.
Like we just did this.
Yeah, Soulfire.
We had Soulfire come into Nevada and put on one of their conferences, but it was really big for us because we were kind of the pushers of it to not make this a Life Church thing. So we rented the community center so that people wouldn't feel threatened. You know, oh, we're not taking our kids to your church thing. And we invited, I invited I don't know how many. If everybody would have come, it would have been like 500 kids there. That didn't happen, but we had a really good turnout though. But what we ran into when push come to shove, all the other churches were kind of hesitant because they still had that there. So I think continuing to push things like that, whether it be for adults, youth groups, things like that, because I think after that was over, talking to some of the other youth ministers there, they were pretty excited about that. And we had them all get up at the end and got them engaged in some responsibilities of it and stuff. And so I think things like that can build trust, can build friendships, family, you know, and I think that's a good start. And really, that's what the world needs to see right now from the church.
Yeah. So we're deliberately engaging in connection points that will help build relationship, one, between churches and with the world. Because people that wouldn't darken the door of a church need a safe place to encounter God.
Right.
And that doesn't always happen on the street with treasure hunts.
Right.
So if you give somebody a space, our living room happens to be what we utilize mostly.
Yeah.
Just have house church, you know, worship time in our living room. And we also have found that what a lot of churches will get on board with is worship events.
Just
because we all worship very similar. We all worship the King, you know.
Yeah.
So your Baptists, your Pentecostals, your non-denominational, what have you, will come together for that kind of a thing, especially if you get down to the nitty-gritty, you're building relationship with the people that make those decisions.
Yes.
Now, I think that's probably the biggest inroad is deliberately going after people.
Yeah.
Showing up at a church campus during the week, walking into the office and saying, can I buy you coffee? Can I buy you lunch? Can I get to know you?
Right.
And really going after those relationships.
Right. The Soulfire thing he's talking about, guy who kind of runs that or the lead person on it is Nick Keith from Ash Grove. And
also the Hill.
Yeah.
Part of the Hill. We went down last April or May to one of their events. And as we left that event, my wife and I was just talking about, man, we need that in Nevada. They have a camp in Panama City, Florida that they do every summer. So we took a bunch of kids down there and the kids were just radically touched.
Yeah.
Travis's daughter was radically touched. I mean, it's just one of them things that makes your heart just come alive when you see your kids getting touched, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so they do a one night event called Ignite. And this Nick is, he's 100% evangelist. 100% evangelist. And so they do an awesome worship. And then TJ spoke that night. And the kids love him. A lot of them knew him. But we had, I don't know, I think somebody said maybe close to 100 kids come. So
that's awesome.
For a first-time event.
Absolutely.
You know, and like he said, a couple of the other churches there that brought kids was just, they were very, very pleased.
Yep.
We're excited about doing that again maybe in the spring. And hopefully that'll expand and the word will get out more. And so we're excited about that.
For sure, yeah. If you give me your information ahead of time.
Yeah.
You know, that's not too bad of a trip for our kids in this area to grab a van and go up.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, it's an awesome event.
Yeah, it really is.
It really is. You can't hardly put it in words.
Yeah. A lot of times when we do an event and I don't know if you guys do this or not, but we'll have some kind of a, when food's involved, it's always good.
Oh, yeah.
So that
I
you
like
can,
food.
Yeah, I do too.
So it's hard to get to the vent when you got the food, though.
Yeah, but that's where you build those relationships.
Absolutely.
Whenever you're breaking bread together, you can really get to know one another and that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
So we like food too. So, what you got on the horizon? What are you dreaming about right now?
Well, what do you think, Trav?
I know as far as our youth group, we're going to continue to support the relationships we're building with the other youth groups around us. We're going to be getting all of our area youth together as far as the Hill churches and our church. And I think we're calling that side by side. And so we're just going to keep pushing that at least quarterly, get all the kids together that we can get together and have one big thing. Because I think it's important for them as well to see that they're not alone. All these other kids in their school that they didn't know, because Nevada's not got a small school by any means. That girl, they walked down the hall, oh, they were at the, you know, the worship thing with me last night. I have somebody that they can relate to that they didn't even know. So I think things like that's important. So in our youth group area, we're going to continue to do that. And I think there's not a question. Our church is going to just keep reaching out because that's what we do.
You know, one thing that's really a challenge, you could kind of expand this out into various churches, I guess, but just on an individual basis, because, you know, like I said, we co-pastor with, there's three of us that, you know, they call me a lead pastor, but really, in essence, we're co-pastoring together. They're taking as much responsibility as I take and so forth. But if you boil it down to even individuals, if I'm never willing to identify what's in Travis or what's in Alan, then it kind of gives me a disconnect from having to honor them. But once I allow my heart and I engage myself in, I want to know what's in Travis. I want to know what his gift is, what God's called him to. And if I'll allow myself to let that happen and embrace it, then it causes me to have to honor it. You know, if I realize that Travis is an evangelist, you know, the things God's put in him, if it's youth or whatever it is, then when those subjects come up in a meeting, we all have opinions. And, you know, I'm going to have a strong opinion, but that might not be my thing. And I'm going to have to honor the gift that's in him. Okay, we're going to go with you, Travis. And so, you know, I don't know if you can broaden that out to churches. You know, is a specific church called to one thing and another church called to worship and another church called to be an evangelist in the community? But somehow or another, if we can allow ourselves to identify what's in people, then it causes me then at some point to have to honor that. That's the heart of a father.
Right.
Is you want whoever it is to be everything they can be, and you just help be a part of it.
Right.
And, you know, the point is we got to reach people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know in my own life, those fathers that have been placed in certain seasons of my life, the ones that made me grow exponentially were the ones that treated me better than I really was.
Yeah.
Saw more in me than I actually saw
absolutely.
Myself. And that makes you grow so fast.
Yeah.
Seeing people at their greatest potential is what the Father does.
Yeah. And I know, you know, one of a mutual connection of ours would have been Daryl Billings. You know, Daryl was a super connector of people.
And
he didn't care what church you went to. He might show up at your church, you know.
He didn't really care about the church you went to.
Right. Yeah, but he was, you know, he was actually what brought Donnie to our church. When Donnie was moving to Nevada, he told Donnie, he said, you need to get in contact with that church.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's right.
I'm still hearing Daryl stories.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone I run into.
Right.
If he comes up in conversation, somebody's got a Daryl story. I've got 100 of them.
Yeah, he was an awesome guy.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you, Kevin and Travis, for sitting down with me, sharing your hearts. And I really just love getting with pastors and worship leaders and people that are just ministers at heart, pastors at heart, and encouraging us to really look at relationship and build it. I love that you guys are co-pastoring.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And I'd love to explore that maybe another time if you've got it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sure. All right.
We'll bring the big guns next time.
Okay. All right. Love you guys.
All right. Love you too, man.
So good to talk to Kevin and Travis from Life Church in Nevada, Missouri. If you're in that area or you want to stop by, they're located right there on North Centennial Boulevard in Nevada. You can find out more about them at lifechurchnevadamo.com. Next week, sitting down with a good friend of mine in the worship community, now a pastor of a local congregation. In fact, they're going to be hosting Incense Rising coming up in March. I want to find out more about that. All you have to do is go to EncounterCulture.com.
www.encounterculture.us. We'll see you next week on the Encounter Culture Podcast.